nighter out there on the interwebs. Get your ears on for the Fitness Skills Podcast from GMB, where we teach you to get strong by practicing skills you actually want to learn and how to have fun in the process. I'm Andy Fawcett. I'm not only the founder of the GMB Posse, I'm also a client. And here with me is the hero of the GMB Epic Saga, Ryan Hurst, our program director and head coach. Ryan, are you ready to drop the hammer on today's podcast?
Hit it.
Let's take it as an affirmative.
All right.
Good. So today we got I wrote down a lot of notes. I don't know if that means we have a lot of stuff to talk about or if I was just, you know, typing a lot more than usual.
But, yeah, I saw that and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
A lot of letters there, you know, because I'm good with pictures, but letters are kind of difficult for me. So
yeah, well, I apologize for that. If you need prompting at any point, just let me know, say line number 43 and I will read it to you. Okay. So some of the things we're going to be talking about, lots of stuff from around the interwebs that we want to kind of direct your attention to, that we have seen that we think is interesting. Some questions that people have asked lately about GMB stuff, and especially about some recent tutorials that we're going to clear some things up on. And we're probably going to talk about one of the most common things that people seem to kind of not get about the GMB method and that really... That just gives people trouble, and that's specifically about how to
progress.
Yes. How we do our progressions and how to get from one point to another. And I can't really explain it very well right now without getting into the full explanation, but just rest assured you want to hear what we're going to talk about at the end of this podcast. All right. So with that said,
teaser.
Yeah, total teaser there, and it's going to be worth it. So let's talk a little bit, though, first about some of the things that have been going on in the GMB Posse.
Yeah, man. Let's hit it.
All right. Work. So we mentioned last time Ryan is now officially middle-aged.
Middle-aged?
I think old is maybe too pejorative of a term. It sounds like we're putting you down, right? And it's also kind of a black and white thing. It makes it like there's only two ages, young and old. And we all know that there's many shades of gray. And right now you are in the shade of gray called middle age.
Gray, that's right.
Hopefully you won't be getting too many shades of gray in your hair. at least not too soon.
Yeah, make sure I go down there and have them do like all the Japanese people do over here and dye their hair black so you can't see it.
Super black. Yeah. So for those of you who were not around for it or missed it somehow, when Ryan turned 40, he went and did 40 backflips on his birthday and it inspired us to do this 40-40 kind of sale on Facebook. And we gave 40 people 40% off. And actually, we're going to tell you a little bit more about this at the end, but we're actually thinking about doing that again. And so the reason I mention it now is if you have not liked our Facebook page, you need to do this because it's the only way that you're going to find out about certain things like this. We update it a lot more frequently than we do our blog.
Yeah, man. Get over there on Facebook. Also, I have to say, if you want a really good ab workout, do 40 backflips in a row and then make sure you do your bridges because your abs are going to hurt the next day.
Yeah, definitely. Also, on our Facebook page, another good reason to be connected on there is, like, lately, a lot of people have been posting a lot more pictures and videos of themselves doing GMB stuff, and it's really cool to see the progress people are making. And actually, a few people have emailed stuff to Amber lately, and she's going to be posting some of those videos and pics up, too. So, you know, if you ever think that maybe some of this stuff is too hard and you have to be like Ryan to pull it off, you're completely wrong. Lots of people are doing it, and we're going to be posting a lot more of that. So check out Facebook. Our friend Logan Christopher is soon to be releasing his new kettlebell juggling program. And granted, kettlebell juggling sounds really gimmicky to me. But when I saw Logan actually doing this stuff,
I thought, yeah, that was cool.
Damn, you've got to be strong.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it sounds gimmicky, but I highly encourage you to check it out. We're going to put the link below this podcast. Logan is a strong guy, and he's a really, really genuinely nice person, too. So you should check out what he's doing. The kettlebell juggling, gimmicky though it may sound, is actually seems pretty legit. I have not tried it, but I don't know. If I get a kettlebell anytime soon, I'm probably going to give it a shot.
Yeah, first time I remember seeing that, we were in California doing a seminar, and he did that, and I was like, wow, that's some impressive stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot Logan actually came to that seminar that you guys did.
Yeah, that was great meeting him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, another really good guy online is my best pal. He's not my best pal, but he's just a really nice guy, Al Cavadlo. If you don't know who Al Cavadlo is, he's we've mentioned him a couple of times on here. He does some really good stuff. The reason I'm bringing him up again is he's very soon to be releasing his DVD on pull-ups called Raising the Bar. And it's going to be released on Dragon Door, and it's coming out pretty damn soon. So Al can bust out some serious pull-ups. So it's something that you should check out. If pull-ups are something that are a sticking point for you, and if it's something that you, you know, aim to be able to do a lot more of, you should be on the lookout for that. Last DVD-related news from a friend. This is weird. We're pimping three other people's things in 5 minutes.
Crazy
here.
Stuff. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't think this
stuff.
Has ever happened. It's totally unprecedented. Mike Fitch from Global Bodyweight Training.
Mike. Yeah. A very, very unattractive man.
Yeah, that's why he's on so many more magazine covers than you are.
Oh my God. There's no way I could do a seminar with him because he's just, you know, wow. I'm sounding pretty gay right now, which is just fine. But yeah, Mike's very, very good looking guy. He's also very, very talented. He's got some serious skills.
Yeah.
And he's got this hand balancing DVD coming out. Looking forward to that, seeing what he's got in there. So.
Yeah. And so I don't know exactly what's going to be included. The couple of videos that he has shared have been pretty impressive, though. So obviously that ties in with some of the stuff that we do. And
great guy. Good guy.
Mike's a
very
good guy. Strong.
Each other. Neat guy.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm probably going to be one of the first people to buy it. So,
yeah.
So some of the stuff online, I don't know how many people listening to this are martial artists, but you are, Ryan. I am. Jarlo is. And I know a lot of people in the GMB posse are, too. And so if you have not discovered the web show on YouTube called Enter the Dojo... you are so missing out on life.
Yeah, that is some funny shit. That's for sure.
It is. Enter the Dojo is about a fictional martial art, or is it really fictional? Who knows?
Yeah, it's real.
Called
that's real.
Ameridote.
It's all real. If it's on the internet, it's real.
It's very, very real. And the funny thing is that people take it extremely seriously. So Master Ken has been posting his videos about Ameridote for a while now. And if you look on the YouTube comments, some of the episodes have been pretty funny. There was one called Ninjutsu is Bullshit. There was another one called MMA is Bullshit. And it's hilarious because MMA people take their stuff pretty seriously. And so, yeah, there's some hilarious comments on these videos. Even if you don't appreciate the humor, you need to read the comments. But season 2 of Enter the Dojo is going now, and the first video is up. So definitely check that out. It's probably the highlight of my week when a new Enter the Dojo comes out. So,
what else we got going on?
Well, that's
talk about Reddit.
Yeah. Enter the Dojo is what's good about the internet. Reddit, Reddit is a lot of things that's good about the internet, but also a lot of things that are bad about the internet get put on Reddit, too, and that's because they have a very liberal anonymity policy. Recently, a guy named Violent Acres, which is one of their most influential users, was kind of outed, his real identity made public, and... a lot of people on Reddit were upset about this, and I understand that. I mean, I'm an American. I believe that free speech is really important. I make my living with my speech, you know. And I totally understand why people were upset about this, but I also think that, you know, in society we have we have responsibilities. And so regardless of any moral objections you have, I think the debate over free speech in this case is, you know, at best is spurious, because yes, you can have the freedom to say what you like, but in a society, you can't be free of the consequences of what you say. You know, communication has an effect on people, and we're all liable for how we affect other people. And so, yeah, anonymity is, you know, maybe good, maybe bad. I don't really know. I don't have all the answers. But I definitely think that, you know, we need to be aware of how we affect other people. And the way that we speak, even if we're on the internet, we're still having an effect on people. And so I don't know. I thought that it was interesting that there was a lot of debate and a lot of discussion about that topic. And so I just thought that was interesting. I'm sure that GMB people probably have opinions on it too. So I'd really be interested in hearing about that. We stay away from political stuff most of the time, but it's interesting because we're all adults pretty much. And we all have to deal with these things and make moral decisions.
Yep. Yeah, totally agree. It is interesting because everybody's got an opinion. And but like you're saying, when a person's ousted and their actual name comes out there and stuff like that, I don't know, that can create some trouble. And but Reddit, I don't know. Really, it's an interesting place, that's for sure.
Yeah, Reddit is definitely an interesting place.
Than anywhere else. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the reason
not much to say on that, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason that I bring that up is because, you know, some of these discussions about things like ethics and stuff, you know, they hit home since we're running a business and we make particular claims.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do things ethically at GMB, and it's really important to us. I mean, at the very beginning, before we charged anyone a single dollar for anything, you and Jarlo and I together, we actually were discussing ethical things and how we wanted to make very sure that we never did anything misleading and never, you know, sold things, you know, based on, you know, insecurities like, aren't you embarrassed that you don't have a six pack? We never make marketing messages like that because it makes us, it's kind of gross, really. And so it was really validating a few days ago when a guy named Bennett posted on my wall. I'll just kind of read it here. One of the things that makes me trust you GMB guys a lot more than other fitness gurus I've been around is that you're very honest about what you are, what are and aren't your strong suits, and maintain a down-to-earth philosophy and that self-deprecating sense of humor. You've never once made a promise that was too good to be true or claimed to know all things about all topics or put yourselves up as icons of physical perfection. Paradoxical as it may seem to the insecure, the less you puff yourselves up, the more I believe you when you do assert something to be true. And so thank you, Bennett. That is exactly what we are aiming for. And so that's what this whole discussion was really about, is I feel that's something that's very important to us as a business and as people that do marketing to do it well. And so it was really, really, it was a great compliment to see that from somebody.
Yeah, that's great. And kind of comes back to the guru kind of thing. You know, yeah, I might be the guy in front doing all the tricks and stuff like that, but you know what? I'm just out there trying to be the best I can, and I don't think that I'm the king of all exercise and I'm the best in the world or something like that. I just try and be the best I can be. And so really, it's not about me. It's about us helping other people to get better. And we have to do that by making sure that we're not even making sure, but just being ourselves. And that means, you know, trying to be down to earth and practical and not claim that we can do particular things and give you particular things when in fact we can't. And so unfortunately there's some places out there, and we just want to be true to what we're doing and also have a good time doing it.
Yeah, and unfortunately that sometimes means that, well, more than sometimes, it means at least weekly people get to be subjected to my winning sense of humor, which I do heartily apologize for. I know that my jokes are terrible. And I'm sure most of you don't even realize that I'm making jokes half the time. They're so bad. But that's part of who we are, too. So, you know, anyway. So that's enough about us, right? I think we've made everyone suffer through enough talk about us for a few minutes. So let's get into answering some questions, shall we?
All right.
So here's the first one. So Ryan, why are you so anal about locking out the knees and front scales? I mean, who cares if my knee is bent?
Yeah, exactly. Who really cares? I mean, let's just shit. From now on, let's just bend our knees. Screw it. End of conversation. Next question. Yeah, why am I anal about this? Well, without going on into a 20-minute, 30-minute discussion on the proper way to keep your legs straight, it just basically comes down to building a solid base and what you're building that solid base for. There's two ways, of course, we can do this. If you bend your leg, you're going to be strengthening your leg, of course. But by straightening your leg, it's going to help us for some of the other movements that we're eventually wanting to work on. And so some people... Well, let me just say this. It's easier to say lock your leg out. Just, you know, make sure your leg is straight. What we're actually doing is making sure that we lock our entire leg down by flexing our leg muscles. So rather than, you know, flexing our biceps or anything like that, we're actually flexing the leg muscles in order to help us stabilize the leg for when we perform movements like the front scale, the back scale, and the Y scale. And actually right now on the Alpha Posse forum, I just posted the monthly tutorial, and it's on the Y scale. And for the Y scale, actually, we started off, and I have people start off with their leg bent. I'm not talking about the leg that you extend up into the air, but your base leg. And what we do is, in the beginning, that helps strengthen the leg in order to basically get your balance so that you can start working it with your legs straight. So the leg straight locked out position is actually more difficult for people, and that's because they're not used to being able to lock the leg out. It's very similar to actually when we perform movements like the planche, where we have to focus on locking the arms out. And remember, when you bend your arms, it's not a planche. So locking those arms out is very difficult for people who are not used to it. And so that's why you have to go and work gradually on it. Getting back to why we lock the leg out, it's the same thing. We need to make sure that we exercise the legs, or in the whole body for that matter, in as many ranges as possible. And locking the leg out in the front scale, in gymnastic terms, if we're talking about gymnastics, it's of course a matter of strength, but it's also a matter of making it pretty, how it looks, because people, gymnasts, when they perform their floor routine or whatever they're performing, they're being judged and they're receiving points for how well they can do it, as well as how well they can make, or how they can, how pretty they can make it look. So why do we lock that leg out? Well, it's because we want to focus on getting that straight leg strength. You know, we've talked about the straight arm strength. Well, this is a straight leg strength. And really, that's all it is yeah, about making sure to lock that leg out so we can have the strength not only for when we bend our leg, but also when we have it straight.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. And it makes sense when you put it in that perspective. You know, the straight arm strength is obvious to see that that's different from bent arm strength. And so it just makes sense that it would be the same with straight leg versus bent leg. I also want to kind of back up to something you said about making it pretty is, you know, some people say, oh, I don't care if it's pretty. Well, you know what? You should, because pretty is not just about aesthetics. Pretty is about having control and being able to control your movements and do them beautifully if you choose to, means that you're able to control your movements and do them however other way you want to do them too. So making it pretty is not just an aesthetic thing. You know, it's about having the control of the movement. And so it's definitely something that we should all aspire to.
Very, very important point. Thank you for bringing that up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So speaking of one-legged skills, we also not too long ago put up a tutorial of you teaching the pistol, the single leg squat, on the blog. And it got a pretty good amount of excitement from people, because a pistol is a skill that you know people want to be able to do. And usually when people teach the pistol, they say, well, first you need to be able to squat, then you step two, you do a negative pistol, step three, you do a pistol, done.
And yeah, that's, you know, all you need to do.
It's just done. Three steps, one, two, three. So easy.
Yeah.
But if it were that easy, then, you know, there would be a lot more people who can do pistols. So you came around and started teaching pistols from the bottom up. And it seems like there's a few more steps involved. It seems kind of complicated by comparison. But why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, so we've actually had a few people ask, why do you teach pistols differently from everyone else? How dare you do anything differently?
Yeah, why do you do that? Well, for one, big thing is, in our case, is range of motion. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't have the range of motion in their hips and in their ankles to be able to squat all the way down. And so rather than just saying, okay, do a squat halfway down, and once you can do that, you can start working on your pistols. We feel that it's really important to have the full range of motion and also the strength in your legs to be able to perform the movement. Now, that might sound silly because a lot of people will think, well, hold on, I'm trying to use pistols to strengthen my leg. Well, sure, but it's actually going down into the pistol is going to be a bit easier to perform. And I'm not talking about going all the way down. I'm talking about just bending your knee a little bit with your leg, with your other leg stretched out in front. Now, the reason that we have so many steps is not because we want to complicate things, but because we actually want to simplify things. And that might sound silly, but the progressions that we use are not big jumps to the next one. And so, unfortunately, out there, there's a lot of information, a lot of ways that people teach these movements, not just the pistol, but other movements, where it's, okay, do this. Once you can do it, here's the next one. But the next one is usually such a big jump that people get frustrated and or, unfortunately, get injured trying to work up into that next progression. So rather than that, we break things down even further using smaller steps. What this does is, for one, gets person stronger and helps them to work on it gradually. But it's also a confidence booster in that when you try and jump up to the next thing and it's too far away, it's only going to frustrate you. And you're probably going to force yourself into doing it, which is not a good thing. And so when looking at the pistol squat, I do it from the ground up. Just an example of the way I do it. But part of the reason for that is so that you can get comfortable in the bottom position. Because it's not that people have a problem going down into it. It's the problem is getting out of it. And so in the very beginning, if we use very small baby steps, making sure that we have the range of motion, the proper flexibility in our ankles as well as in our hips, then once we start going gradually into the actual movement, you'll have the confidence as well as the strength to be able to start going to the next steps faster and actually getting to the full progression faster and more efficiently. And so that's why we break things down into very detailed progressions and make sure that we're not jumping up into a very high progression right away. So anyway, there's many, many different ways that we can teach it, but it all comes down to making sure that we use small progressions and make sure that we are successful in each progression before we move on into the next one.
Yeah, exactly. And what happens a lot of times is people will want to be, they'll want to think of themselves as being more advanced. This is kind of some of the things we talked about in the last podcast too, where people want to be able to say, I can do a handstand. Sure. And they'll try to skip over a lot of the portions of the progression and then find that they can't do the thing where they think their level is. And, you know, all you got to do is drop down one level and work on it.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And unfortunately, if the progression that you're given is too high, mm-hmm. when you jump back to that lower progression, it's actually not going to help you. And so that's why having these these progressions that are smaller, then that allows you to adjust where you are and get stronger so that you can move up into that next level and as well move back down a level when you need to work on it a little bit more. So that's how I've always trained, way back when I was young, when I was training, that's how I was taught. My coach did it. I love that way of doing it and just have continued to do it. So this isn't something that I created, by the way. It wasn't something that I just thought up overnight. This is how I learned it from my many coaches through gymnastics, through martial arts training and whatnot. So thanks to them, we've got these progressions. So
cool. And so you mean it's not actually a proprietary method that you've patented and sold to government agencies?
Well, I did, just because, you know, now it's me and I'm a huge guru, and and so everyone should bow down to me. And also from now on, it's not called the pistol, it's called the Ryan. And so if you place that on the internet, you need to pay me money.
Gotcha. So. It's actually quite interesting how you did that, is you invented it, then you sold it to the government and you patented it, and then your coaches learned it and taught it to you.
Exactly, because what was also cool is I created a time machine and I went back.
It's like the circle of life, but it's
the circle of life. So, but that's how we roll. That's how we roll at GMB.
Yeah. All right, cool. So last question, how do I keep my damn rings from swinging? And we actually just, we posted a blog post about this a couple of days ago. But maybe just give us kind of the cliff notes, because I know this is something that, you know, people struggle with. I mean, actually, it's kind of like the whole thing about rings is that they don't stay put. So just give us a little bit on this.
Well, I mean, just in a nutshell, whenever you jump up into the rings or you want to use the rings, always make sure that before you jump up there that you're actively pushing down on the rings. And one other thing, make sure that the rings are under the support. So, you know, if you have your rings hanging from, I don't know, a tree branch or a pull-up bar, make sure that your rings are directly below that tree branch or pull-up bar. And when you push up, or pardon me, when you jump up into the top position or whatever you're working on, make sure that you first push down into the rings and then jump up there. Yeah. So that's basically it.
Yeah,
so.
Cool. And I actually, you know, not a lot of people know this, but I actually had a scholarship to study physics in college. And so I can speak with some amount of authority on this particular subject.
You're a guru in it, right?
Gravity always pulls straight down. That's really all I have to say, but I can tell you definitively.
Really just pull straight down. That's it.
Yeah, so. I mean, like literally straight down. I can tell you with some real authority that gravity always pulls straight down. So if your rings are swinging, what that means is that some not straight down force has been introduced. Right?
I mean, it sounds kind of obvious. Kids, right there. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all we need to know. And so always exactly, pull straight down.
Yeah. Exactly what Ryan said. Make sure they're below the support and press down into them, and they won't swing. You know, that's pretty
good. That's it.
Cool. All right. So let's get into a couple more topics that that we can discuss here before we wrap things up. Mixing it up for variety. How's that working out for you? You know, we get a lot of people asking about, like, oh, yeah, how can I just change things up? Or, man, those rings look like something fun to try for variety. You know, variety's great in your diet, but I don't know. What do you think about variety, Ryan?
Well, I mean, it depends, you know. I think it all comes down to your goal. You know, variety is nice, but I'm pretty happy with sticking with one thing for a while before I move on. Yeah. And this is the thing, and this is actually a blog post that we put out this week talking about trying to create a program yourself. This is kind of what it goes back to. There's a lot of stuff out there, and we can jump from program to program if you'd like. But, you know, trying to create your own program and trying to put everything in your program in order to hit your biceps at this angle and then also make sure you're working on your one-arm handstand and blah, blah, blah. It ain't going to work. So as far as mixing it up, stick with something for a while, you know. Have some work with a coach if you can. Have that coach figure out a good program for you. Stick with that. Then when you've completed that program, it's time to move on to something else. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, people say, you know, oh, I get so bored if I have to do the same workout twice in a row. Really? That's all it takes for you to get bored is twice?
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, all right, if that's it, seriously, you really need to teach yourself some discipline. I don't mean to be harsh or rude. I mean, I'm not the model of self-discipline by any stretch of the imagination. But if you can't do two of the same workout without getting terribly bored, you really need to just learn how to appreciate the benefits. You know, now if you're doing the same thing 4 or 5 times or 10 times in a row, yeah, I can start to see how you might get bored. But here's the thing. You need to understand that every workout is not exactly the same, even if it follows the same template. You know, you need to appreciate that you're making progress. I hope you're making progress, you know, and maybe
there's something wrong.
Exactly. Maybe you're doing, you know, a little more weight in certain exercises, or maybe you're able to do a nicer version. Your handstand is so much better, or you can hold it for 45 seconds instead of like 15, right? Things like this make it not as different, and you should be able to appreciate and celebrate those small victories. You need to give yourself credit for making progress, even if it's a small thing. I mean, oh, I'm still working on the handstand and I'm not doing one-arm handstand push-ups yet. Well, you know, give yourself some damn credit. You weren't able to do a handstand at all, and now 10 sessions later, you're able to hold a handstand for like 3 or 4 seconds. I think you should celebrate that instead of saying, I'm so bored of handstands, you know?
Yeah.
I know, that's just what I think.
I just think it's awesome because, I mean, even – let's look at – that's a good point. Look at some of the best hand balancers in the world, okay? They're still practicing their handstands. They're still working on bettering their handstands, okay? It's you know, how many millions of times have they done a handstand, okay? It's just – to me, I think that's amazing that you can keep coming back and finding something to work on. And that's something that I actually focus on in my practice. I always want to take the basics, of course. I'm really big on the basics, of course. And looking at my handstand, too, over the year, even just the past year, my handstand has gotten so much better. It's just – ridiculous how much better it's gotten, but that's just because I've made sure to go back there and spend the time on doing it. I'm not mixing things up. I'm going back in there and looking at my handstand and saying, what do I need to work on in order to better the handstand? So that I'm constantly making improvements. So, you know, work your handstand just for, you know, today, and then tomorrow you got to do something different and whatnot. I don't know, man. You know,
yeah.
I don't think you want to work with me. Then you might need to find somebody else because you won't like the program that I'll make for you. So
yeah, I mean, so yeah, feel free to mix it up and get your variety on, but also feel free at the same time to not make any visible progress.
Exactly.
All right. So that's one thing. So another important concept that I want to talk about, and this is what I kind of alluded to at the beginning of the podcast today. And I'm not sure if I have the best way to explain this yet, but I don't know. We'll kind of play it by ear and see here. Basically, it's that progress is not always sequential. It doesn't always happen in clearly defined step one, step two, step three things. You know, for example, if we talk about the muscle up, right? The muscle up is not one ability. The muscle up is several abilities. It's the ability to pull yourself, the ability to push yourself, the ability to stabilize the rings, the ability to make a false grip on the rings, the ability to withstand the pressure of the rings pushing against your forearms where you're not used to having things pressing on your forearms. It's several things that, you know, are, you know, included in the muscle up as a skill. And so you don't have to practice each one of those attributes sequentially. You can practice them all, you know, similar parts of them together, right? So this is built into our programs, and it's built into every quality program to an extent. So for example, if you're working with rings one, and you see that we put a lot of emphasis, especially now since we redid Rings 1, not so much in the first version, but especially in the new version of Rings 1, Ryan puts a lot of emphasis on perfecting the rings turned out position in top position, the top position hold, right? So, Ryan, what's so important about rings turned out in top position?
Well, for one, it's just going to stabilize the shoulder. And if you're stabilizing your shoulder, there's a couple things going on, but basically it comes down to stabilizing the shoulder. And by having that stabilization, you're able to actually perform other tricks. And I say tricks, but movements, okay? The rings turned out can be troublesome for people because, for one, they don't have the range of motion, and as well, they don't have that straight arm strength. Similar to what we're talking about with the leg and the scale, when you take it up to the rings, it might be difficult to lock your arms out. And so this can be a wake-up call to people and let them know that, hey, they don't have the proper strength to get the other skills. So that, you know, if you want to get the muscle up, really, it's a bent arm movement until you get up into the top position. And so by working on that top position and working on range of motion and the straight arm strength, it's actually a carryover for a lot of the stuff that for most of the stuff that we're working on in rings one. So that's why we put a lot of emphasis on
it. And that's actually what I wanted you to say, is that it carries over to a lot of other things, which is really important, because you do not have to stop rings one and perfect the rings turned out position before you can continue working on rings one. That's why we introduce it in the beginning, because it affects a lot of things. And by adding it in the beginning, as you continue going through the progression of R1, you're going to be doing a lot of rings turned out top position, you know? And so you're going to get better and better at it, and it's going to lift up. It's that rising tide that raises all the ships, you know, as you do it more and more. So it's not that you don't have to stop and perfect each movement. You do not have to master top position before you can do dips. You know, you do not have to master false grip before you can start working on muscle ups. You know?
But an important point in that, not to interrupt you, sorry.
No.
An important point is that just because you practiced it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it later. And so what I'm talking about that is, when you perform a dip and you go into the top position, every single time in that dip, make sure that you turn the rings out. So by doing that, you're not just focusing on the dip. You're also working on your rings turned out position. And that's what Andy's talking about, is as you progress and you go through the other movements, just the fact that you have the top position put in there, you're able to work on that also.
Yes.
And that's what's very important, and why we say that you'll be progressing and getting stronger in that as you go. And that's how we have the programs laid out. So in the very beginning, you'll be focusing on the rings turned out position and, for example, the chin up. But then later, when you put that into a full movement, for example, like the muscle up, you've got the pull up in there, you got the dip in there, you got the rings turned out position. As you come back down, lower yourself, you've got making sure your elbows are into your body, and you've got the position that, the false grip position to help you do that. So you're actually working everything together, and you'll be improving.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great way to look at it, too. One of the things that people seem to... Well, I guess it's really intuitive to think of like the bodybuilding split kind of training, where you do one exercise for one specific muscle, right? Then you do another exercise for a different muscle. And so people think, I can just switch out, dips for a different chest exercise. Well, no, you can't, because the dip is not just a chest exercise. It works a lot of different things. And that's the way that we make our programs at GMB, is that every exercise and every progression actually is doing double, triple, quadruple duty. It's doing several things. And that's why we chose the exercises we chose, is because they're working on a number of levels simultaneously. And it's not just that we chose a chest exercise and a quadricep exercise and a trapezius exercise.
Yeah, we don't work the body parts. We work the body parts, pardon me, but we're not trying to hit a specific body part. We're focusing on movements and being able to use that movement and do it so that we can perform even more difficult movements down the road.
Absolutely. All right, cool. So at the very beginning, I mentioned that we had our 40-40 sale, and, we actually, though, Ryan, it wasn't just your birthday this month at GMB. Actually, both our web developer Milos and our marketing assistant Rachel both turned 25 this month as well. So,
great. So old. They're so old.
They're so old. Put them together, and they're a little older than you.
So old. God.
So in honor of that, and also just because people seem to be really happy with it, we're going to do 40-40 Part 2. 2 in just a few days after this podcast is released. And so we're going to be announcing that and releasing the details on Facebook. So definitely make sure that you like our page on Facebook and check that out. We're going to be talking about that in just a few days. Part 2 of our 4040 sale on Facebook. So be on the lookout from that. Also be on the lookout for stuff from Logan Christopher, Al Cavadlo, and Mike Fitch. These are all just good guys, strong, and have a lot to teach. So check out the stuff that they're doing. I think that you know, if you like what we're doing, you're going to like what they're doing too, and you can definitely learn from it. Finally, we're thinking of doing some interviews on Ye Old GMB podcast. So if you think of anybody you'd like to hear us interview that you think would either make us sound really smart or it maybe just be interesting to talk to, let us know. Send us an email or leave us a comment or something, and we'll try to get in touch. Ryan, you got anything else you want to add?
No, man, that's about it. I think we covered pretty much everything in the world. So
we did run a pretty tight gamut today.
Yeah. Pretty good job.
Sweet.
Once again, another fun podcast. And yeah, let us know what you think. Make sure to send us an email or post on Facebook or hit us up on the Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. And also, while you're hitting us up, you know, head to iTunes and please leave a review and please leave a rating for the podcast. It really helps us to get found by people who are looking for this kind of information. And so if you've enjoyed it, help us spread the word. You can always find out more about GMB on our website at goldmetalbodies.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We are gone.
Laters.